a lot of things we can get a hold of, but it will not benefit anyone unless there's an application made. And that becomes a personal responsibility of every one of us in this room to apply the truth that has been preached. From Brother Melvin talking about our young people and what they have to look forward to, I know one thing. God will never leave himself without a remnant. Amen. Mark her down. Brother Hatfield said, God will not be outdone. He will prevail. And I want to be standing on his side when the final day comes. Brother Noah Broughton has told me many, many times that the only thing left in his heart is he wants to finish his race. Finish his race. Now you can get off the bandwagon if you want to, but the principle that has been set forth here today depends upon that application of you accepting. And that was encouraging to see so many come to the altar. We've almost come to the place where we quit using this altar. And we need to get back to, instead of looking at why a reason to go to the altar, look for an opportunity to go to the altar. There's a major difference in those two. Open your Bible with me today to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. And I want to read one verse to you. That'll be verse number 9 of Galatians chapter number 6. I want to get my thought here, and then I want to go over to Luke chapter 22 and look at some text that will go along with my thought. So look with me first of all in Galatians chapter 6 and look at verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to bring to your attention that statement, let us not be weary in well-doing. And I want to say to you today that it is possible to get tired doing a good thing. A good thing. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll come back and look at this. Our Father, we thank you today for our Bible. I thank you for every preacher that's preached in this meeting, how it's challenged me, how it's fed me, how it's encouraged me to continue on in the way of my God. And Lord, I pray that your blessings will be upon this hour, as Lord, it falls our responsibility to take this old Bible one more time and preach the Word of God. please bless us now. Bless this people as they hear the word of God. And we'll thank you for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing. It is possible to get tired doing a good thing. As a matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse number 12, the Bible said, much study is a weariness to the flesh. Let me ask you, have you ever took your Bible and you wanted to read the Word of God? And you sit down with the Bible and begin to read. And after you've finished your verses or your chapter, you realize that you can't remember a single thing that you've read. How many times have you bowed a knee to pray to the Father? And you have a burden upon your heart that you want to talk to him about. But when you finish your prayer, you feel like that it never went beyond the ceiling, but it stayed there in your presence. Or maybe you're praying or reading your Bible, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, you're thinking about something that has nothing to do with what you're trying to do. Your mind is wandering. I want to say to you that down through the ages, there has been a battle to do the good things of our God. Look with me in Luke chapter 22. And I want to begin reading with verse number 31 of Luke chapter 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I want to bring to your attention that Satan did not want Judas, but he wanted Simon Peter, the one that was plugged in, the one that was doing the good work of God. That's the one the devil wanted. And the truth is still here today that the devil does not even like the one that he has. He only wants the one that God has. And so Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, or sift out everything that God is trying to do in your life. Then verse number 20 or 32, he said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Boy, I'm glad for the goodness of our God that he will prevail. Verse 33, watch it. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto him, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Things are fixing to get it on. It's going to get bad, is what he's telling them. For I say unto you, that this that is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, and the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went as it wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed. Now watch verse 42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them, now watch this statement, sleeping for sorrow. Sleeping for sorrow. I looked up that word sorrow in my Bible, and it bears with it the definition that those disciples had been with the Lord. They had walked everywhere that he walked. They had done everything that he done. And now they are sleeping for sorrow. I've heard preachers lambast these disciples for falling asleep. And surely they should have stayed awake. I believe each one of them would say that to you and I today. But I want you to see that they are at the place where their eyes are heavy. Their eyes are closing together, and they startle themselves to try to wake up, and their eyes once again gets heavy, and they're bowing down. They're losing their strength. In other words, they've gone as far as they can go. they've done all that they can do. And the only thing left is that position that you and I have been in, where we say, I've got to have some sleep. I've got to rest my eyes. And these disciples are in that position. The devil has declared a warfare upon them. Do you remember when our Lord, over in the book of John, was out ministering? And the Bible said that he came to Jacob's well. And when he came to Jacob's well, the Bible says, being weary from his journey, sat upon that well. Our Lord had gone as far as he could go. He had done all that he could do, and he had to rest himself. Remember, not only was he God, but he was also man. And he got tired just like you and I get tired in this world. But boy, there came a woman there to the well, and she was going to draw water. And the Bible said Jesus, while he sat on that well, had a conversation with that woman. He found out that that woman had been married 5 times. And that woman was presently living with a man that was not even her husband. And Jesus, though he was tired, though he could not go any further, sitting down upon the well, found enough strength to witness to her. And one of the greatest soul-winning lessons in our Bible is found in that chapter of the book of John, and chapter number 4, as he led her to a saving knowledge of God. And the Bible said that when she met the Lord, she went back and told all the men that she had lied with and committed sin with. Come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The Bible said those men came to the well, and they looked over at that woman, and they said, we don't have to believe because you have told us, for we have seen him for ourself. What a great soul-winning lesson in our Bible. But I want you to see that as the Lord gives us that chapter, he is so weary from his journey that he has to sit down upon the well. There's two things that you've got to guard against today. Number one is getting sleepy and tired in this service right here. You've got to keep yourself alert and awake and conscious that God is trying to speak to you. Secondly, that you've got to realize that it is so easy out in the world to just get tired. just get tired of being turned down, getting tired of hearing the word no, getting tired of being rejected. You've got to realize that if our Lord got tired, we too can get tired in the ministry. And so if God would help me for a little while, I want to preach a message entitled Weary in Well-Doing. Weary in Well-Doing. And I want to say to you today, number one, you can get tired praying. Amen. You can get tired praying. Every one of us in this room realizes we need to pray. Our prayers need to go to God. Our prayers need to be spoken. A dear man called me this week on my cell phone, and he said, I feel like my prayers are not going beyond the ceiling of my house. And I said to him, when that happens, quote you a verse of scripture and just sit there and think about that verse of scripture. And then don't pray silently, but pray out loud. Amen. I want to say to you today, the church is struggling with their prayer life, and they've gotten to the place where they're weary from praying today. I remember a young man that I led to the Lord named Eddie Smith. And Eddie Smith was a country. He made me sound like a city slicker. He was truly country. He called everybody son. Son, where you been? Son, where you going? Son, what are you gonna do? And he called me son. Instead of preacher or pastor, he called me son. He came over to my house one day and looked in the foot of my bed, and there was my family altar. And he said, son, what is that? I said, that's where my family prays. He said, can I have one of them? I said, why, sure you can. Look at mine and then go home and measure your bed and build you an altar that'll slide right into the foot of your bed. And he went and built one, and it looked so much better than mine. And Eddie got to getting on that altar, and he came to me and said, son, I've been getting on that altar. I said, what's been happening? He said, I've been talking to him. I said, is he talking back? He said, yes, he has begun to talk back to me. I said, what did he say? He said, I believe that he wants me to be a preacher like you are. And I said, really, Brother Eddie? He said, yes, son. I think that's what he wants me to do. You said, why, Brother Hatfield? From praying, amen. From getting on an altar and praying out loud to a God up in heaven and ringing those golden prayer bells of heaven. And so I say to you, there's a need for prayer. Brother Eddie, I told the church, I said, God has called Brother Eddie to preach the gospel. Boy, my church erupted. They came out of the pews. They were hugging Brother Eddie's neck. He was so bashful, but they were patting him on the back, saying, we're so proud of what God is doing in your life. And Brother Eddie was sort of out of place. And I said to him, Brother Eddie, I want you to preach your first sermon here at the church. He said, son, I don't believe I can do that yet. I said, why? He said, they scare me. I said, Baptists have been scaring me for a long time. Amen. But I don't know how you do your church. But when I pastored, we had testimony service every Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night. So I told Brother Eddie, I said, will you take charge of the testimony service? That'll get you used to standing behind the pulpit. That'll get you used to being in front of them. But you don't have to say anything. Just stand there and let them testify. And I want to show you. Brother Eddie came and he stood behind the pulpit and his head was down. And he said, does anyone have a testimony? And my people were standing up saying, we are so proud of what God is doing in your life, Brother Eddie. One Wednesday night, I stood up and I said, Brother Eddie, you come now and take charge of our testimony service. And he stood up from his pew and said, if it'll be all right with you, son, I believe I'll just preach tonight. Amen. Oh, thank God. Brother Eddie got in the pulpit. His shoulders were limp. His head was down. And he said, I'm not going to do this like Brother Hatfield because I'm just starting out. But he said, let me show you what God showed me at work the other day. And he began to point that finger and move around and lift his head and square his shoulders and preach the word of God. You said, where did it come from? It came from prayer. From getting on an altar and talking to God in a moment of prayer. But all I want to say to you, you can get tired praying. I want to say secondly, you can get tired praising. Would you agree with me that God is worthy of our praise? Amen. Worship is inward, but praise is outward. And we have a generation that is the quietest church that has ever lived upon the face of this earth. Amen. You said why? Because they're weary praising God. And they go in church and sit down in the house of God. And when they sit down in the house of God, here's what they do. You say, why don't you do something, Brother Hatfield? I've been wondering that same thing about you. Amen. You've just sat there. You've made no amens. You've had no body movements. You've said, what's wrong? You're weary from praising God. Did you ever read over in the book of Acts and chapter number 3 that Peter and John were going to Sabbath school? And on their way to Sabbath school, they met a lame man. And this lame man was begging alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. And that lame man probably thought, well, move on, buddy, you can't help me. But Peter said, but such as I have give I to thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And the Bible said strength came into the legs of that lame man. And he stood up probably for the first time in his life. He stood up. Do you know where he went the first place? Do you know where he attended? He went to Sabbath school with Peter and John. Amen. And the Bible said they entered into the house of God. I can just imagine Peter and John walking into the house of God. We're preachers. We're here. We have church now. Amen. But right behind them, there was an old ex-lame man, and the Bible said he was leaping and praising God and giving God the glory for what he had done in his life. And I'm convinced that if God has done something in your life this week, you will enter the house of God with praise down on your heart. But you said, what's happened? We've gotten weary praising God. Can I say to you, we've gotten weary perfecting. What do you mean perfecting? I mean you are living in the only world that you will ever live in where you can grow as a Christian. You're perfecting every day. You're growing. And I want to say to you today, you're either getting closer to God or you're getting further away from Him. You're not staying the same. You're not remaining idle. You're either getting in or you're getting out. But somewhere we've got people that have gotten weary doing a good thing. And it's affecting our churches. And our churches have gotten to be the quietest place. Can you imagine that lame man walking in here today, leaping and praising God? And half of us would say, somebody quieten that man down. Well, if God has done something wonderful in your life, I believe you'll have an overwhelming desire to praise God for the good things in your life. Amen. Half the church of our God today is praying they win the lottery. And they win the lottery and they leap and praise God and shout and think, all my troubles are over now. And here we sit in the house of God with our hearts drawing cold toward God, idle in our worship and in our praise unto this God. So we've gotten weary perfecting. Can I say this to you? And then I'm about to close. But we've gotten weary pastoring. A lot of men have come to the place where they've lost their drive. They don't have that motivation like they had when they first started out. When they first started out, they were determined to set the woods on fire for the cause of Christ. You know what your problem is, preacher? You got to hanging around with your people instead of them getting like you. You got a little bit like them and you lost your joy and you come to the place where you got weary pastoring your church and trying to perform the ministry of our God. You get weary doing a good thing. You get weary preaching. Hardest thing in the world about preaching is knowing what does God want me to. You can have a book full of outlines, but none of them seem to mean anything to you. And if you're not careful, instead of fighting that battle and finding the will of God for your preaching, you'll just pick out an outline and say, that'll be okay. Well, it's not okay. There is a will of God every time you take this pulpit, every time you open your Bible. There is a will of God in your preaching to the congregation that God has set you over. And we've gotten weary preaching. We've gotten weary, tired of fighting the battles. Those disciples fell asleep while he was in the garden praying. It don't say he prayed till he bled. That ain't what it says. It said his sweat became as great drops of blood. And the sweat was profusely expounding from his body, just like it was a drop of blood falling on the ground. He was agonizing with the Father and those disciples. Had fallen asleep. We have churches today, Brother Lawrence, that's lost their drive, lost their motivation, lost their challenge. We need to find us an altar and get back into this ministry. Back into the church with a drive like we had when we first started out. Let's stand and bow for prayer.